One point was I did talk to a creative director, and they kind of told me like, you should be more like this person, right? And I was like, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, it felt like a bit of a slap in the face, in the sense of like, you know, when you're like kind of reaching out to someone and, you know, they're not like making a time for you, and they're just like, oh, just try to be like someone else. When it's like, no, I'm gonna kind of do my path. I'm gonna create my version of like what I think is the right thing to do. And from there, I kind of just stuck to that, you know, and then it kind of gave me a little bit more confidence in that sense of like, okay, now I know what to do. Now I know who I want to talk to. Now I know who I want to associate with. You know, because I think it's the hardest part. It's like you could easily fall for that trap and just be like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm gonna try to emulate that person, right? Like, you know, we kind of seen that, and it's not you. It's not who you are at the end of the day, right? You have to stick true, or you got to stay true to who you are.
Hello everyone, I'm Mo.
And I'm Josh.
And welcome to In the Business of Something, where we demystify the world of advertising and highlight the unique stories of the people in the industry.
Our guest today is Jeff Chung. So we're really excited to have Jeff on today because he's not only the creative director at LG2 in Toronto, but he's also one of the judges for this year's ACE Awards. So he was in Edmonton last month for judging, and you might have also heard him on the panel for Judges Breakfast.
On this episode, Jeff takes us through what it's like being in his position and what he appreciates the most about working in advertising.
In addition to talking about his current role, Jeff covers the importance of staying true to yourself as you navigate the early parts of your career.
So stick around if you're interested in hearing more about Jeff's impressive career path and what it's like working with some of the biggest brands out there. Enjoy the business of Jeff Chung.
Since you're a bit new to us and to the audience as well, I was wondering if outside of your life in advertising, if you could just give us a sense of who you are as a person and, you know, what you like to do and what kind of makes Jeff, Jeff, so to speak.
Great question. So yeah, I'm Jeff. I'm a creative director at LG2 in Toronto. And yeah, I guess what makes Jeff, Jeff is, you know, outside of advertising, like, you know, I know we were talking earlier about like the Raptors. So I'm a big kind of sports fan. So I definitely make my time for that. As you can kind of see, there's a bit of a poster in the back over there. And other than that, it's like, I love just kind of trying new experiences. I think, you know, traveling is kind of, you know, one thing that I do love the most, just to, you know, kind of just see the world and see how other people live, how other people, you know, interact. I think that's kind of really important. It helps with the job, you know what I mean? Because I think those new experiences can kind of help shape, you know, different thoughts and different inspirations. And, you know, just trying new things, whether if it's food, art, you know, going to a show, all these different things, I think are all encompassing of, you know, the creative brain. And it kind of just helps, you know, who I am and kind of dictates who I, you know, try to be. And at the end of the day,
what are you kind of currently interested in, or like, you know, nerding out on, any like piece of culture that you're just diving into right now?
You know what? I think for me right now, it's like, I'm maybe just because it's like, we're coming out of the whole, you know, kind of COVID landscape. It's like, I'm kind of just really into like looking at like different places to travel right now. And just trying to just find new places and places that, you know, just kind of really inspiring that, you know, I've like, oh, that looks like could be a fun time, or that could be a really neat adventure. So I think that's kind of where my brain is currently right now.
Anywhere on the list that you're booking a trip to right away, or
Nothing in the current, but I've always wanted to do like the whole like Ireland, Scotland, you know what I mean, kind of do like that coastal drive and kind of experience it that way, because like my fiance is actually like half Irish Scottish, and I'd love to kind of just expand and see that side of the world. And I think the other place that like really kind of intrigues me is like doing the whole like French Polynesian, like that kind of area there, to kind of really explore out. So that would be great if I could.
Yeah, those sound like two pretty good trips.
Yeah.
I wanna get started by just diving into your role as creative director at LG2. Can you get to let us know a little bit more about that agency for those of us who are not familiar with it, and kind of how you would describe it to someone?
Sure. Yeah. So LG2 is you know, it's an independent agency that started out in Montreal about maybe like 30, 35 years ago. And they have three offices that are across Canada. It's two that are in the Quebec province. So Montreal is the head office, and there's one also in Quebec City. And then we are located in Toronto, and we have that's basically like the third office there. So, and most of the clients do kind of spawn, I think, in the Quebec offices are mostly, you know, Quebec-based clients, but there is some kind of crossover with English Canada. And then from the Toronto office side of things, we do kind of have a bit more of a national lens, you know, of all the kind of different brands that we work on. And some of it does, like I said, kind of also crossover with the Montreal office. So there is a lot of that times where we can kind of, you know, kind of utilize and, you know, kind of the different like skills and different kind of tools and that everyone kind of offers between the two offices or three offices, actually.
What would you say makes LG2 different from other agencies in the area? Is it kind of the industries you specialize in, or is it something else?
I think honestly, I'd say it's like the people, it's the culture. I think there's just something really inherent with, you know, the LG2 kind of culture that's kind of really kind of just resonated with me personally. I think just having that kind of, you know, independence. I've worked for, you know, a lot of, you know, holding companies. We'll use that term. And, you know, there's a little bit of restrictions that can kind of, you know, stop you on whether if it's the day-to-day, whether if it's, you know, creativity. But I feel like with, you know, I think LG2 and kind of having a bit of that independent shop feel, there's just a different vibe overall that it's a little bit more liberating. I think in that sense, there's less layers, which I think is, you know, pretty key at times that kind of really help, I think, with a bit of the process of, you know, creating ads at the end of the day.
One of the things when Mo and I were talking about just listening to you speak at the judges' breakfast and some things that we had picked up on, I thought it was interesting when you were talking about just your approach to advertising and how your day-to-day is and how you always try to make time for, you know, actually experiencing like something new, like you were talking about, like whether it's like a new restaurant or culture or like an art show or anything like that. And I'm just wondering if you could give our audience like a sense of what your typical day looks like as a creative director, or if like, is there even a typical day on the job for you?
I think it's a great question. I think it does vary, I think, day to day, but it definitely starts with like the whole slack-a-mole, as we like to call it. You know, it's basically you're trying to attend to all those ones there. And, you know, I think there's times where, you know, you could start a day off where you're doing that, or you're going right into a meeting or right into a presentation. So kind of just varies on the day to day, but, you know, I think mostly, you know, you're dealing with different people at different stages throughout the day, whether if it's you're dealing with clients, dealing with members of your own team, like the creative team or other departments. And it's trying to just keep it organized and free flowing, making sure that all the fires are put out and that everyone's feeling good and in a good place. And, you know, you try to live for the next day.
I think slack-a-mole is the best description I've ever heard of what it's like working at an agency. That's perfect.
It is. It's definitely something. I mean, pandemic wise, it's, you know, we'll kind of have to learn that, you know, that aspect of it, because it's strange where it's, I don't know if you guys are experiencing this as well, where, you know, people used to just email you when they wanted something requested, or they'd give you a phone call, but now it's just a Slack. And then it's like, it's a Slack within a Slack, within a channel, and you got to find it. And someone's like, I did send it to you. And then I'm like, was it a direct message? Oh, it was within this channel under this sub channel. And I was like, oh yeah, there's no way I'm going to find that right now. So
yeah. How many years have you been at LG2, Jeff?
I'm actually coming up on 2 years in April.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's relatively new, but it also feels like I have been there for, you know, a little bit longer than that. I think that's just advertising years.
Right. Right. So in those 2 years, is there any projects that stand out as like the highlight of those 2 years, or things that you really got to geek out on and were like a fan of the products you were working on?
You know what? I think there was, I think honestly, like one of my favorite projects there was, you know, we did something for Domino's, And I think just the idea of just kind of working on something as big of a brand as that. And like, I wasn't necessarily the creative, but, you know, I think like the creative team that kind of like worked on it, there was just a lot of, you know, hard work that went into it. And, you know, it took a long time to kind of get out the door, but it's one of those projects where you have to do a bit of that brand work, that brand building at the end of the day. And that's sometimes the hardest work, right? Because it's like, you need to have that brand kind of established off the top before sometimes you can get to do, you know, I think some of that kind of key work at the end of the day that might be, you know, a bit more of a brand act versus like, hey, it's got to be like a hardworking, you know, tactical, you know, spot at the end of the day. So I think for me, that was kind of like the most exciting, just trying to see and build a brand from ground up and, you know, seeing the potential that it could be and will be, I think, you know, for the future and all the success that it can be, I think, once, you know, all that work was put together.
Can you take us a little bit behind the scenes of what that work looked like for Domino's?
Sure. So then basically like there's a line of put pizza over everything. That's basically kind of like the tagline. That's like the brand positioning of it. And it's all about, you know, the great lengths that people, you know, will do to, you know, for pizza. Right. So it's all about kind of establishing that. So it's like, once you kind of set up a bit of that framework, then it's like your ads can start to follow that same process. Right. It's like, you look at like Snickers, it's like, you're not you when you're hungry. Right. So then you start thinking about that philosophy and then the potential of like what those spots or what that advertisement could be, gets really exciting, as you guys have seen, you know, some of that work there. So, you know, when you start saying, oh, you're going to put pizza over everything, you know, your brain as a creative, you guys know as well that it starts to just kind of go in a different direction of like, okay, well, what if I start doing this? What if I start doing X? What if I start doing, you know what I mean? It just has a bit of that formula to kind of create that potential of like new and exciting work, I think every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're totally right. The hardest part is like doing the groundwork and laying the groundwork before then. Like people probably have no idea how much that like that Snickers, you're not you when you're hungry, like line, how much work that probably took prior to that first spot. You also mentioned earlier that you did some work with some Raptors. Was that at a different agency or was that at LG2 as well?
That was at a different agency. It was the agency that I worked at previously called BBDO. Yeah, we had, there was actually a partnership with Snickers. Actually, it was MLSC and Snickers. And we had an idea to work with one of the Raptors. And basically the idea was called Suit Swag. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. And basically the idea was, you know, we were trying to figure out a way to like, okay, how do you do some type of brand act? And how do you kind of create a little bit of, you know, PR around, you know, this kind of collaboration. So, you know, what we did was we knew that, you know, the tunnel walk in basketball is like one of the biggest things, like flexing your fit is, I mean, every sport almost now, not just basketball itself, but I think in the NBA, definitely, you know, I think first time I saw Russell Westbrook or LeBron or any of those guys kind of, you know, walking out with, you know, whatever newest outfit or newest sneakers. So we also knew too, funny enough, that like I remember in the brief that like we couldn't, it was like basically telling us, you can't advertise here, 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 or here. And then we were just like, okay, so then basically the tunnel is the only place that we could do something. So what we did was we actually got DeLon Wright, and he actually wore an oversized suit that kind of looked like his dad's suit or looked like a prom suit from back in the day. And you know, fit these days, it's all about being slim. It's all about style and flash. And this was just like, you know, dad's old, like baggy gray suit, you know, basically that he wore to the game. And it kind of just blew up instantaneously. Cause it was, I think it was on the Raptors like social feed on their Instagram. And then basically everyone just started commenting on it, going like, oh my God, did you see what DeLon is wearing? All the NBA players started chiming in, like Durant, Wade, like they're all just like laughing, going like, what is this guy wearing? ESPN covered it. All these like other different kind of like basketball, you know, blogs and started doing it as well. And basically the next day we revealed that it was basically a Snickers ad. that it was like, you're not you, or you lose your swag when you're hungry. That was the line. That was the payoff line. Right.
That's and good.
Had, That's yeah, good. Great. And then we had like Blonde Right kind of help reveal it. So, but at that point we watched it. It was the first time probably in my career where I'd seen something kind of just blow up like in real time, where everyone was basically making different memes of DeLon Wright wearing this oversized suit and like cropping them into every single thing that they could possibly think of.
Damn, so huge success then. Huge success.
It worked out really well, I think, it worked out well for our agency. It worked out well for the clients. Funny enough, DeLon has talked about it on a few blogs and basically, you know, said that that's like one of the most famous things he's known for.
That's funny. Rough for him, but funny.
Yeah, rough for him.
I'm curious, did you actually get to meet DeLon and what was that like?
I did meet DeLon, yeah. I did meet DeLon, and honestly, he was like the nicest guy. He got the whole, I totally get the whole advertising thing, and he thought the idea was funny, and he was saying too, it was very similar to, he said the suit was actually similar to his brother's suit that he wore on draft night. So, which I thought was really funny. And then, and then there was actually like a meme of like his brother on draft night and then DeLon Wright in that suit. So
that's hilarious.
That's definitely an example of how like marketing and advertising has changed a lot too, is where you're not always doing something that's like a classic big TV spend. You know, when you're doing this like massive spot, it can be something a much, much more smaller in scale like that, but have like a really high impact. And I guess my question for you is just in the work that you're doing, like how much of it is kind of the traditional advertising that people think of, like, you know, like the big TV spots and that kind of stuff. And then how much of it is kind of these more interesting, like activations and interesting ideas like that?
It's probably more a little bit of each, you know what I mean? I think there is like still appetite, I think, to kind of do a bit of the, you know, bigger kind of, you know, brand work. But I think it's honestly with budgets kind of shrinking these days, it's, you guys know that feeling. So it's about trying to be as nimble as possible. And it's, you know, about kind of creating a bit more of that kind of content channel, you know, and how that kind of unfolds. And that's what a lot of clients are asking for at the end of the day. But it's, you know, at the same time too, it's, you still want to be culturally relevant. Like, you know, with that Raptors idea, that was about, you know, kind of being in that moment. And that was like really kind of synonymous with, you know, that culture and the sport. But I think with, you know, I think everything that's with anything else, it's about finding the right times to when to kind of intersect and when to be a part of it. And it's finding that balance of, you know, being relevant and not being relevant at the same time. It's not easy, but it's like something that, you know, I think at the end of the day that every brand, you know, tries to do. You know, I think the successful ones are the ones that do it really well.
I kind of want to change gears now and kind of talk about your journey to where you ended up today as a creative director. And I don't know if you can take it all the way back to like your student days, but can you just give us a bit of a quick rundown of like how it all kind of panned out for you?
Funny enough, I didn't think I was going to go into advertising. And I thought if anything, I'd go into like graphic design or something like that. Somehow I did end up in advertising. And it was very fortunate in the sense that back when I was younger, my godmother actually worked at an agency. And I guess she got wind from my mom. And so then, you know, basically I got a phone call and was like, hey, do you want to potentially, you know, just volunteer at an agency? And so I did. And I kind of got to see, you know, a bit of a different kind of insight of, you know, the advertising world. And I realized, oh, I don't want to be a graphic designer. I'd rather be an art director. I'd rather be on the creative side. And, you know, I thought that was, you know, when you start seeing like all the people within the agency and, you know, kind of how they interact, that was kind of got me really excited. And then, you know, basically from there, I went to school, or I kind of majored into advertising at OCAD. And then I got an internship actually at Ogilvy. And that was kind of like the kickoff for it. And kind of got lucky actually in the sense of how I got the internship, where back in the day, there was a site called I Have an Idea. Like they had like a portfolio night, And you got basically interviewed by like three different creative directors. And one of the creative directors actually didn't show up. And I got a replacement creative director, Nancy Vonk, who worked at Ogilvy at the time. And then she saw my book and got very lucky. And the rest is kind of history. And I've been in advertising since.
When you look back on that time, are there any moments that kind of stick out to you as either like big learning moments or like pivotal moments in your career that took you down a certain path or anything like that? Like, just, I know it's a long time to look back on, but anything that sticks out?
I moved around a lot actually when I was younger. I pinballed between like a bunch of agencies, and I think all of those were all the kind of learning experiences, because I think I learned my craft that way. And I learned from meeting new people and talking to new people, because it's like, you know, this is an industry where it's like kind of just like a sponge. You absorb kind of everything that is kind of thrown at you. And it's like, you have to find your way to kind of make your path. And I remember, I think one definitely, one point was I did talk to a creative director, and they kind of told me like, you should be more like this person. Right. And I was like, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, it felt like a bit of like a, you know, bit of a slap in the face, in the sense of like, you know, when you're like kind of reaching out to someone and, you know, they're not like making a time for you, and they're just like, oh, just try to be like someone else, when it's like, no, I'm going to kind of do my path. I'm going to create my version of like what I think is the right thing to do. And from there, I kind of just stuck to that, you know, and then it kind of gave me a little bit more confidence in that sense of like, okay, now I know what to do. Now I know who I want to talk to. Now I know who I want to associate with, you know, because I think it's the hardest part. It's like, you could easily fall for that trap and just be like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm going to try to emulate that person. Right. Like, you know, we kind of seen that, and it's not you, it's not who you are at the end of the day, right? You have to stick true, or you got to stay true to who you are. And that's the only way that, you know, that for me was kind of a bit of a turning point. And then from there, it was just like, okay, I know what I need to do.
And on kind of the opposite end of the spectrum of pivotal moments in your career, have you had like moments that where like you either like fell flat on your face, or you were questioning whether you belonged in the industry or not, or you're just having those kind of like challenging moments?
Feels like almost. There's definitely days like that. There was definitely a moment, I think like probably like in 2010, 2011, I did a spot and someone got injured on the shoot, and, you know, it made me kind of question going like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? Like, this is just an advertisement, guys. Like, this is just a commercial. And like, someone got injured on it, and I was just like, oh man, I'm just, you know, it made me kind of question everything, right? I'm like, what am I doing here, right? I'm just, you know, I'm here to, you know, sell a product, but it's, you know, because of that, because of my dumb idea, someone, you know, obviously got hurt on it, and he's fine now, which is like the best feeling in the world. But it, you know, it was one of those moments where you're just like, oh crap, like, you don't want that feeling again. And, you know, I've kind of made it my goal after that to be like, okay, I got to be, you know, there's like, you can have crazy ideas, but like, that was a bit of a crazy one at the time.
You do all your stunts now yourself?
Yeah, I do all my stunts now, guys. So, you know, make sure that from an insurance standpoint too, that it's
smart. No issues, so. Smart. You said there, I think like half jokingly, half not, that like, you still question whether you belong to industry or not, but you're 18 years in. So to me, that's insane to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? It's one of those things where I've been very fortunate throughout my career. I've met some great people, and, you know, I've kind of had a few things kind of just kind of land my way, you know, and, you know, I've always really just worked hard to make sure that, you know, that this is, it's funny. This is also like, of all the things that I've done in my life, I'm like, this is like the first time where I go, I think I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Versus like, I remember when I was younger, I was like, you know, like all of us, we're all trying to just figure out what's our path. And, you know, I come in to work every day very lucky and thankful that it's like, you know, this clicks.
You've given us like little nuggets of advice, I guess, throughout this whole conversation, but I'm wondering, sitting where you are today, like, is there anything that you would tell students or young professionals who are just either just kind of discovering the world of advertising or just starting, like, regardless if they're in creative or media or like in accounts, just something that is kind of your go-to piece of advice?
Usually I tell people it's, you gotta stay true to yourself. I think it's one of those things where you gotta show up at the end of the day. Like, it's, this is one of those industries where, like, you can't just, you know, kind of relax in that sense of like, relax and not show up to work, because I think those that do, you really see it. You really see that they really want it. They want to be a part of it. You know, I've worked with, and I've seen people where it's just, they do take for granted, you know, what this great industry can be and what this job is. Like, there's a lot of fun, as you guys know, that kind of come with us, but it's like, you still have to still be, at the end of the day, you know, hungry. You still want to be able to, you know, feel excited about ideas and not feel too jaded. That's when you get older. That's when you get really jaded. But when you're younger, it's all about, you know, I think, you know, finding that, you know, still a bit of that drive and that balance at the end of the day to kind of really, you know, show that you want it, that you want, you're committed to doing this. And then you're also, I think that's the one advice I would say too, is just not be afraid to be vulnerable, like with your ideas or with people in general. I think sometimes we hold everything too close to ourselves and think that's like, oh, I can solve it, or I know what's best. And, but that doesn't work, you know, like sometimes it does. Like, sometimes if you're a mad genius, it's, I totally get that. But at the end of the day, it's like, you work at an agency, it's all about team collaboration. So it's, you know, you got to be able to, I think at the end of the day, hear and listen to people and be able to not get offended if someone says something at the end of the day. It's about, you know, like, no one's trying to maliciously trying to, you know, sabotage you or say these things. They're not trying to say these things, but, you know, they're just trying to help. You know what I mean? A lot of times where this feedback is kind of coming from. So I think, yeah, that would kind of just be my advice for, you know, people kind of starting in advertising.
Yeah, great advice. And especially on like not trying to do everything on your own. I think I'm not even 2 years in yet, but just learning and understanding that I can say, I don't know, sometimes, instead of trying to come up with an answer, is like such a relief.
It is. And I think it's one of those things where it's, you know, you don't always have to act tough at the end of the day, right? It's like, it's okay to, like I said, ask for some advice or ask for some help. Cause it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to be better. Right. And if you allow yourself to allow other people in, you know, you actually could do some great things.
Couldn't agree more. I think we could wrap things up by doing a shameless ACE Awards plug. So for those of you who don't already know, Jeff was one of the judges for this year's ACE Awards. And I'm just curious if you can kind of give us a quick summary of what your overall experience was like judging the ACE Awards this year's and what you thought of the advertising community here in Edmonton, by just kind of taking a look at all the work that was done over the last year.
I mean, I had a great time, I think, at the ACE Awards. All the staff and all the people that were kind of involved, was the hospitality, I think, was great. The Q&A was a great time. But I think, you know, just looking at the work, there's some great work. There was like really great work. And, you know, I'm not, you know, as familiar with the Edmonton market as, you know, maybe you guys are, but, you know, I saw some great work that I thought, you know, that could stand against, you know, all the international markets as well. Right. Even though they may not be recognizable brands that go across Canada, you know, and that there may be more towards, you know, they're more household names in Alberta, but I go, when an idea is a great idea, you know, it doesn't matter if it's from Toronto or, you know, Brazil or London or Edmonton or, you know, Victoria, like it doesn't matter at the end of the day, like you will recognize it immediately and it'll just click. So that was kind of the really exciting part. And it was just, like I said, also just cool to just see different work, you know, kind of coming out from another side of the country that, you know, I was unaware of. And I hope that Ace Wars will have me back, because I had a great time.
We'll pass that along. Well, Jeff, thanks for that conversation. It was a really good time. And yeah, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time here at the end of your workday.
No worries. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for having me on. And yeah, thanks, guys.
Josh, what was your biggest takeaway from that conversation?
I think this one Jeff said a couple times, but just the idea of staying true to who you actually are as a person, and just try not to be too swayed by other people's opinions of who you should be or what you should do and how you should act and all that stuff. And I think as a young person in agency, it's challenging because you're kind of looking to other people for a sense of, you know, how to do your job and how to act and all this stuff. But I think you can always trust your gut at the end of the day and, you know, do what you think is right.
Yeah. And it's especially tough in this industry because there's just so many opinions flying around on a daily basis. And as a young, impressionable person who's just getting started and trying to, you know, find their spot, it can be very easy to take some of those opinions personally and let that impact kind of how you carry yourself. But I think Jeff said it best, is that, like, I think your highest chance at success is through just being authentic to who you are, and that you actually standing out is better than fitting in, which can be challenging and can be scary. But I think the people who can figure out a way to make that happen end up making it to those big leagues.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. I guess another takeaway would just be his, like, the really good words he had to say about the Edmonton industry and the work here is pretty cool, that he had talked about how he thinks, even though, you know, you might not recognize the brands outside of Alberta, like, the work can stand up to even international scale work, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's not often you hear that. So it's encouraging, and I hope it's especially encouraging for any students listening who feel like, you know, I need to move to Vancouver or Toronto if I want to really get a quote unquote real job in advertising. There's plenty of that to go around here in Edmonton, and think the work speaks for itself. And if you don't believe it, listen to Jeff. He's seen some of the best work out there, and he's still pretty impressed by what he saw judging the Ace Awards. And I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah. And I guess last thing is, just speaking of the Ace Awards, make sure you buy your tickets. I know it's coming up on April 22nd. So we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't put a shameless plug in there as well for the awards.